The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Joey Cockle. How are you doing, Joey?
Good evening. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm really good, mate. Marn at this moment in time.
No, he might drop in halfway through.
You know, the superstar he is, he's allowed to do that. So,
yeah.
If we've got no Martin, I'm going to have to do the introduction today. So,
you are.
Aidan, who are we going to speak to today? And I said, we are going to speak to... That sounded even weirder. We are going to speak to the 2018 EFRA 1/8 Nitro champion. And I'm sure he's one of the things, Ricardo Berton from Infinity. Hi, Ricardo. Are you there?
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. Thank you. Thank you to have let me here. And it's great to be here. Welcome to everybody. Hi to everybody. It's a great pleasure.
Brilliant. And am I okay calling you Ricky?
Yeah, it's perfect. There is no problem.
Okay. I actually watched your... 2018 EFRA Nitro Boogie A final win today to just get some info, and you've everybody on that video called you Ricky.
thank you. Yes. I watched the race I watched the last minutes today this afternoon, and
right?
Yeah. I wish they delay the last minutes that like 5 minutes or things like that, and yeah, it was great. I think that was definitely one of the achievements that everybody dreams when start racing. So for me, this was my first big race that I think that Euros and Worlds are still one of the most important every year. So for me, it's been one of my best moments in my RSC career so far. And
well, yes, as we've started, even though this was like one of the last things I was going to start with, that shows you how bad my notes are. How many times have you watched that video?
I think that when I came back home, I usually don't watch a lot the racing, honestly. And when I'm not there, I didn't watch too much RC racing. But yeah, I watched maybe I think one the night after the race, I watched the world final. Then I watched the last minutes because I think that the. That they were really good to watch too, I think, for the people. And I honestly watched that part many times, I think, and today too.
it was said on the video, it's been said by other people, the best, you know, major final, A final that there's been in Nitro Boogie, certainly the best Euros. It was action-packed. How did your whole Euros go? If we can take you back to the 2018 in Italy, did you go into that event feeling really confident?
I didn't make any the warm up and the race. I was the first year with the MP10, and during June, I think Kanai brought me a lot of new parts, just some new parts that I think were an improvement. So I was pretty confident, honestly. I practiced that like 3 or 4 days after the warm up when I came back from Kyosho Master in France, and I got my car ready, and then you never know the race will go when you start. But I was feeling confident, pretty confident, as I thought the car was good, the engine was good, tires was good, so I was really confident going into the event.
Yeah, because there was sort of a slightly different Kyosho team for the first time in a long time. I think, you know, had Elliot left?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, in my head, it was you and Zhao being sort of the top two Kyosho two. How did you find that? Did qualifying go really? I think you actually qualified second overall, just behind Davide.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
Was just qualifying straightforward for you? Did you, you know, do you have a lot of time at the track?
But yeah, I started from Wednesday. Since Wednesday, I was feeling pretty. I think the Euro starts on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, since the first days, I was feeling pretty good. I saw that the track tires were working really well. So I think that now tires are one of the most important parts in the RC. So the cars and everything. So I was confident. I think I did two TQ rounds, and then we went for the last round. That was probably after some rain. And I remember that was a good run, but not enough to take the overall TQ. But I never know, because Ongaro was so fast there. So I honestly was really hard to think to get the win to the. In the home track of the world champion, but yeah, in the main, everything can happen. So
you started. Sorry to interrupt, but you were. I'm definitely just a 10th guy. So then, watching the video today, it did show both semi-finals, and obviously you went off first in the B semi.
Yeah,
and that looked quite straightforward. You seemed to just drive straight away. Did you get a lot of confidence from that? Do you think, well, I've got a really good chance here?
Yeah, I remember that the semi was, I think, Renault Savoia was behind me for more or less all the semi, if I don't remember where, if I remember well. And yeah, I was feeling good. Then the track was continuing. Changing because of the rain of sun, so you never know. But when I was feeling really confident, when especially in the main, when the rain comes, I saw that the tires were working really well and the car was really, really good. So from there, I start to keep the pace on and try to do, you know, the best. And I think that. It came out in the best way as possible.
Yeah. Oh, go on, Joe.
In that moment during that final, when it started to rain, what were you thinking?
I think that when you drive, you are really focused on. Yeah, you see the rain, but you just need to maybe. Think about there are some corners where maybe you need to go slower, or some corners when you need to be a little bit faster because of the mud. So honestly, I didn't focus a lot on the rain. I just say, let's do the best as possible, and let's take out the best from the car, from the tires, from the truck, from everything. And I think that moment when the rain arrives, my car was probably the best out on the track, and I was able to gain some seconds, and it was I think a great final because of the many really close and many changes during the game. Yeah.
I think the lead changed lots of times. What? Who was your pit man? Who was your pit team at the time?
It was my father and my friend Danilo Pucci, that is a mechanic and that has many experience in the RC.
And are you listening? I keep forgetting. Were you allowed headphones? Did you have headsets on?
Yes.
All right. Okay. What are they? Are they talking to you during this? Are you talking to them, or is it silent?
I never talk too much, just because I think that more or less the drivers know what is going on the track. So I'm usually don't speak too much to the mechanic, and I think they were really excited to see how the final was going. We're really, really close all the main, but they didn't make any mistakes. They were just there with them in the main. So we never speak just at the end, and I think there was no moment for any chat.
And that's that bit that Joey said, the bit I can see now, where you overtake Ronna Falke. I think you're both taking your last pit stop, and you're going into this jump into a hairpin, and you go inside Ronna Falke and away. Were you planning that? Was that a part of the track that you knew you could take him on, or was that just the first chance you had?
But I saw that in that corner, when the track started to be wet, every car was like sliding out of the corner, and so I saw that David, like my car, was doing the same, and just I tried to stay closer as possible to the pipe. And yes, I saw that was, I think, the right moment, the best moment to make a move. I think that David is such a great driver, so no other possibilities that where I could do that. So I just give it all, and it was I think a pretty aggressive move, but at the end it was good.
So you said that. Sorry, you said that was the only place or the best place to make that move. So were you waiting? Were you trying to catch him up as quickly as possible because you knew that was the best place, or was that just it just magically happened?
But I think that was the only part of the track where all the car were all the cars were sliding a bit out of the corner. So the only probably opportunity where you can find a space where put the car, and so I tried, because I think it was a little bump between after the jump, so everybody was staying more or less a bit out of the corner, and so I tried to take the inside, and I got it. And definitely was at the moment I didn't realize it a lot, because you know when you are racing and you are 3 minutes to go, you are really focused. But it was good. It was a good.
So did good you know?
Final with such great drivers.
Yeah. So did you? You said it then. Did you know that you had 3 minutes left? How much of a I'm a 10th person. 5 minutes is as long as I can concentrate. You've got a 45-minute final after 4 days of racing cars. Do you know how long you've got left when you're making that? Do you think that I've got like 3 more laps to do this?
Yeah. Hey, I probably heard like. The counter was saying 2 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go. I didn't remember, but I know where when 1 minute to go. I know there was just a few laps to the end. But yes, I think about the 45 minutes that all the drivers are pretty. They train a lot, so I think that honestly the Euros is not one from my side for most stressful race. Because you have a lot of time out of the track. I think there are many races where you race like usually race like a Saturday, a Sunday. In Italy, you race really like on every 40 minutes, and there you are really busy on doing things. I think that the Euros, you race like every 3 or 4 hours. So yeah, at the track, you are maybe a little bit more anxious, but I think that it's not so stressful race. I think there are some races that are more where you are more busy.
Yeah, manic between, big in the Euros, big gaps. That helps.
Yeah.
That must help you. You know,
sorry?
It must help you because you won.
Ah, yes. Yes.
All I'm going to say is that even through a lot of the commentary and a lot of the video, at some points they even forgot you because they were concentrating on the Ongaro, Ronafalk battle. And then, you know, I think you had led a few times before in the race. As pit stops would happen, and then you sort of your last 3 minutes, you go past Ronafalk. Are you still driving as fast as you can, or are you driving as fast as your nerves will let you drive?
But I think that you just drive. You check how the driver behind you drive, and you try to do your best. You can drive, I think, at the 100%, because if you drive at the 100%, you have more possibility to make a mistake. So if you are in the front and you are 3 minutes to go, I think this probably is the second driver that will drive at 100% and give it all, and so I just try to keep some spaces, because I think that at the last lap I saw that David in the past made a lot of passes. I think that he's an amazing driver, so I just try to take some space to not arrive at the last corner so close that he could try a move or things like that, and more or less was what happened. He arrived really close, but I think not enough to try.
You looked like you were taking it slower and wider just to make sure you got round, because that part of the track was probably quite flippy by the loop.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And of course, as you came round, just before you would come onto the straight, that was right in front of the grandstands. And you can hear on the video that, you know, all the Italians who were there, and I know you might not say it was your home track, but it was still in Italy. The cheers and the clapping was, well, I think they cheered and clapped more in the last sort of the last third lap. I think on the last lap they were a bit nervous. I think the nerves got to the crowd, but they were cheering and clapping. You know, can you hear that over the engines?
But I could hear every time I like you said before the straight, like I think the last four laps or last three laps, I heard a lot of from the people coming. Was really good, but I was focused on try to keep David behind me and not make mistakes. Although I risked a lot in the last lap, because I make two. I went like on two wheels on the corner coming
in the far right hand corner.
Does having, obviously being a a home Euros, is it more pressure to do well, or do you just take every race as if it's just a normal day?
I think that for me, do the Euros in your country, it's I'm not too much experience. I think I made 4 Euros so far, or 5 maybe. But I think that it's you know, you speak the same language of the people, you feel a little bit more home than in other countries, although we make many races out of Italy every year. But yeah, honestly, I didn't feel a lot of pressure, but I know that I probably was more prepped than, I prepped better than other races, that I could go there, practice with the car, not with the plane. So I could, when I went to practice, I could bring everything, I could test everything, I could stay there like 3 or 4 days before the when the track was open to test. And I think this, honestly, I think that I feel more at home if I race in Italy than in other countries. But about the pressure, not too much, honestly.
Okay.
And then when you won, when you crossed the line, you were so excited.
Yeah.
It looks like the referee. It looks like you're going to jump off the rostrum. I think you'd be cheering. You maybe congratulating. You're saying things to your dad and your pit crew below you. And I think the ref actually comes on because you're so excited. I think he looks like he thinks you're going to jump off or fall off.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, but I don't know. But maybe I think it's for that. But also, I think was so excited, so happy that I didn't remember what I exactly did in that moment. I remember just that I watched down to my dad, to my pitch crew, and that was just a great moment. I think definitely. Yeah, amazing. Then when I went down, the rostrum was with all the people there. That was in Italy, a lot of people was there. So, and definitely one probably so far the best moment that I had in my RC career.
And one of the things, yeah. I was thinking as the cars were going round, covered in mud. You know, in the middle of that race, all the cars look brown.
Yes.
But then when I see a picture of you, the car's nice and clean. So did someone clean your shell, or did you just have another clean shell handy?
If I clean the car after the race?
Yes, for the pictures.
No, for the pictures, I just got the car from the control, and I took that on the podium. But after I cleaned it after like 2 days, but yeah. I don't know how it is now. I never touched it, the car, never touched it yet. I just clean a bit and it's there with the cup.
Oh, so is that car in your collection now?
Yeah, I have a little space. And in my home, and yes, I put it there, and I think that the all together it's a great, it's a good, it's good to see. I think the cup is really big. It's nice to see at home too.
Yeah,
inside the home. Yeah, this is. I have not so many euros and words yet, but I think that I have some space, so I hope to grow.
Yeah. Then there's a picture of your shelf with your trophy on, and then we can work out how many world and European championships you can win until you need a bigger shelf. Joey's only got a little shelf because he's not won much. But you know,
hang on. My shelf has got the important trophies that I've won over the last 10, 12, over 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, the important things, like junior trophies and...
Junior trophies, yeah.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't need no big, fancy European Championship trophy. It'll just be something else for my girlfriend to complain about having in the house. So. I mean, not only having RC cars in the house, but the big trophies that go along with it. I mean, she'd lose her mind.
Yeah, she would. She would. Me and you take up enough space, Joe. Imagine massive trophies.
I know.
That's terrible.
The question, you don't have to answer this. It's up to you entirely. At that moment, the week leading up to the Euros,
yes.
Did you know that it was potentially your last time driving Kyosho?
No. Honestly, going into the Euros, I didn't know if I could keep going like a professional, because I was not a professional driving with. Yes, I was a professional, but not paid from any sponsor. So you know, at the one time, you need to take a decision if to make the RC driver or to make something else. So honestly, I didn't know what I could. There was no idea of what could go. I should do after the at the end of the year. So I didn't know what it was the last race with Kyosho. But then later after the race, I realized that maybe I could make the. Try to make for some years the professional driver.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Which we're going to say, oh, be funny, Johnny. That's like the best question any of us have ever asked in 2 years. Well done, Joe.
Yeah.
Journalism. So this is what we were going to start talking about at the very beginning. But, you know, so now you drive for Infinity.
Yes.
And I see the videos that you put up on Facebook and YouTube and things along those lines. But is that still a prototype car?
Yes, we are still a prototype car, because we are just checking everything, and with COVID going on, it's I honestly didn't know really well how are the process to make a car, to make everything. So I just doing my part, doing what the team asked me to do to develop the car, to test, to be safe that everything is it's good, to get the car to be competitive and at the same time quite easy to drive. So this is what I'm focusing right now when I go to the track. But yes, so far we are still this is still a prototype part, prototype car.
Because I think go on, Joe.
Before Lee left to join Nemo and Agama, did you have much contact with Lee regarding the car? Because obviously himself and I think, is it Carl McBride, they did a lot of stuff with Infinity prior to the beginning of last year, didn't they?
I never speak with him about this matter, but I speak sometimes with I speak more or less every day with Kyle, that at the same time is doing my same job, to see how the car goes and try to give the feedback. So we are doing what they ask. I honestly don't know which are the projects exactly to make the car, the company will do the parts. So I just do what they ask me so far.
Okay.
So is that like feedback on the car that you've got now? Is that, you know, you've got a car now, Ricardo? You know, what do you think needs to happen to it, or are they? So, are you telling them what you want with the car, or are they telling you to check things that they want to do with the car?
But I think that we are more or less are both. I bought things. Sometimes they give me something and they say me to try and to see how it works. So maybe sometimes from my side, I think that we are starting from, we use the HB, like we start with that car, and but now more or less the parts are almost all from us.
Right, okay. But, and I suppose 2020 was it was different for everybody. You know, it's like Infinity, and so everyone has been given another whole year to test everything.
Yes, I think that all the words has been of course this was a great yeah, this was a bad bad for everybody, but for us I think we keep practicing and we made a lot of tests that honestly in a standard year with many races we couldn't make. So because we had more time and we could practice more. Like, I think we are pretty lucky here in Italy. We have, of course, Ongaro, so we have the world champion. We have many drivers that are really good. So we can more or less every weekend see at which point we are and if we are moving forward or not. I think we started out.
No, I was going to say, because if you know, you talk about Italian drivers, you know, in that A final in, you know, 2019, you know, Davide Ongaro, you, Elliott Boot is not Italian, but is in Italy. Also, Marco Baruffalo, Polito, who else?
Yes.
Marco Ravaglia, I'm sorry for pronouncing their names.
Yeah, you know, yes.
There's so many fast Italians. When you go to, have you been to Padova recently? That seems to be very popular.
Yeah, yes. I've been on last Friday, and I think that I think that the Italians are really good. First, because everybody practices a lot here in Italy. I don't know honestly in the other states, but I think that do more than what the Italians do, it's hard. But I think that we are pretty lucky because we have a lot of good tracks. We are pretty close. They are all pretty close. And more or less, all the drivers are in the north of Italy. So I think in 300 kilometers, you can find like 10 tracks, 10 different tracks, 10 different conditions where you can practice. You can find more or less all the conditions that you meet during the year. So I think that this is a part of why, because there are so many good Italian drivers that are coming into the RC scene.
Yeah,
I'm moving to Italy. They've got like loads of tracks. I'm gonna do an Elliott. I'm gonna move to Italy.
I think that yes.
No, I was gonna say, Ricardo, do you need a new pit man?
Whoa! Hang on.
That could be our Joey.
Let's not ruin his life.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He suggests.
Yeah, we suggested to Elliott the other week. He said no.
Elliott doesn't need me.
All the Infinity stuff is black with like silver writing. You'd look great. Looks very smart.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's a good idea.
Ricardo, you couldn't afford to feed him.
I could live off
what?
Tagliatelle and
linguine,
pizza.
Yeah,
pizza, pasta. Good. Mm. Now it's cold, but from March, April, weather is good. So
We was in when I did the Euros in Pinerolo in 2017. The heat killed me, so I'm probably not going to do very well in the hot months. Give me the winter time any day. Yeah, love the winter. the summertime is too much.
Yeah, I think it was really hot in Pinerolo. Yes,
it was. That week was very, very difficult. It didn't compare to how it was in France.
They sent me. I've not been there, but they sent me that it's too hot.
It was like 40 something degrees inside. I was a lot.
Yes, of course.
Very tough.
Ricardo, how old are you?
21.
Oh, right. Wow. Because again, sorry, we keep going back to this video, so people should watch the video. You know, they were saying that the young, talented, very popular Ricky Berton. So you're 21 now.
Yes.
You know, you must, you know, you, are you living the dream?
Yes. Yes, I think so far. Honestly, I was my first year like a professional. That has been since I joined the Infinity team. We couldn't race a lot, so I think I didn't start yet to make it really as I would like to do it. So with this situation, it's hard of course for everybody. But I don't know how this season will be. But I hope soon that we can go back and start to do it in the way I have to do it.
Yeah.
Quick question. What do you think you would be doing if you weren't doing RC?
I studied to become more or less a counter. Yeah, I studied for that. So
all the best people do, Ricardo. All the best people want to become accountants.
Yes.
Yes, all the best people want to be accountants. But yeah, I think I would still swap to be an RC. I'd swap to try and remember being what it's like being 21 again. Because we're all 40-year-old old men.
That's made me feel old now.
Yeah, 21.
I'm 30 this year.
And what have you done with your life, Joe? Not a lot. Ricardo, I was going. We have said this. 2021 is going to be a bit strange again. Is it just a matter of continuing to practice, continuing to develop the car going forward? You know, are you just going to go to any race that you can do because you don't know when you'll be able to go race?
Yes, I think I'm just focused on at the moment practice, and I think that this is what the car needs now to practice. I think we made a lot of practice this summer, especially in September, October. I think we started from June or July, yes, more or less in that month that we were pretty far from the rest of the driver. I think at the last race in October that we did was our SGP. We were competitive, so we keep practice. We made some more changes. We like I said before, we can race or more or less practice with the other drivers, so yeah. We can more or less understand where we are. But of course, we need to do races because everything is different, you know, in the race. So at the moment, focus on this. This is what I'm doing.
Okay. And we've really only spoken about sort of Infinity in the cars, but you do also well actually on your Infinity jumper it just says Infinity. It's not like you've got a lots of other sponsors. So what engines do you run? What tires do you run?
From my other sponsor are OS, mm-hmm. for the engine. And I have no tire sponsorship.
Right.
I have runner time for the fuel, and I have MKS for servos,
mm-hmm.
MAU graphics, and BT design for the graphics.
You say you've got no tire sponsor. Is that sort of your choice to so you can run what you think's best? Because that's...
Yeah, I think the tires, like I said before, are really important. So we speaking with Infinity, it's a good idea to see how the car works more or less with all the tires. And if at some races we have one tire that is definitely much better than the other, I can use this. So I can use that. So I think this is an advantage from one side, because I saw that in the past in some races the tires really do a lot of difference more than every other part that you have on the car or setups or things like
that. So does that mean you have to take a big van with all the tires in? Marco Baruffalo's going well. I'm going to steal some of his tires.
Well, my idea would, like how I organized in the past year was to more or less choose which are the usually the most used compound and design of every tire that of every company, and keep like three, four, five sets always for every company that make the main tires. I decide like more or less three design for every company, depends of the company of course, and focus on that. I saw that more or less I think this is the only way if you don't want to buy all the tires and like you say to go with a big van to the track or maybe get to the track the tires. But
so Ricardo, thanks very much for your time. I would normally say, do you want to thank your sponsors? But I think we've just gone through them. And it would probably take too long to list all the tyres that you've probably gone through. Joey, in fact, there's another advantage to go being Ricardo's pitman. Just think of all the tyres you'll get.
Oh, yeah, all the second-hand tyres from European Champion.
Yeah, all those Padova tires.
Handy to have.
And
I get to go to Padova. What more could I want?
Yeah. How far are you away from Padova?
Oh, I am 2 hours and a half.
Oh, right, okay. So it's still a pretty good drive.
Yeah.
But, you know, being...
Yes.
But from the videos and the pictures I've seen, Padova looks pretty impressive. So I'd happily drive 2.5 hours to go somewhere that impressive.
Yeah. I usually stay there when I go like 2 days. So
okay.
I practice 2 days. But I think that it's a great track and all. It is just amazing. All how we build and everything, the box and everything.
How cold is it actually in the arena during a normal race day? Because I've heard it's very, very cold.
Yeah. I think that in January, usually we have 2-3 degrees because it's the same as outside. Sometimes it's colder inside than outside. But I think usually when we race the main event in January, that is around like 6 p.m., we have around 3, 4 degrees, 5 degrees. Now depends. Honestly, on January, just once I found really, really cold. Then all the time, 7, 6, 8. I think now it's going up.
Nice.
I was going to make a joke about 2.5 hours drive. Is that normal people driving or Italians driving on motorways?
Yeah.
Nice and slow, I'm sure. I've driven in Italy a few times. It's an adventure, Joe. It's an adventure.
It's
pretty scary.
The fact that we stereotype the Italians for being crazy drivers, the fact that my manager is Italian and he drives as if he's in Italy. Because he, I don't know how many times I've come into work and he's leaving work and he's nearly crashed into me in a straight line. It's crazy. I'm just like, whoa. Yeah,
we are pretty crazy.
Crazy. You can't be the craziest Italian RC driver. Are you medium level crazy or are you the sensible Italian RC driver?
I don't know honestly.
Well madman Marco Baruffalo, top crazy. Top crazy. You know, where's Ravaglia? Where's the others? Where's, you know, those kind of things. You know, it's great. And also, I'd like to apologise for at first thinking that you were Portuguese.
No problem.
There's time difference as well. And I'm like, it's definitely 9 o'clock in Portugal. And it's like, I'm like, Oregon. Nice. Okay. But again, there's, you know, we won't talk about it now, but there's also many very quick Portuguese 1/8 drivers. You're in that final again. Many quick Spanish 1/8 drivers. It must be that kind of Latin craziness that keeps you all super quick.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Ricky?
Something in the water.
Yeah. Or the wine.
Or the wine. Definitely the wine.
On the pizzas.
I think it's the temperature, is the tracks that are really good. Like I said before, that's probably why there are a lot of good drivers. I think that the tracks are one of the most important things to, because if you practice on good tracks, you can practice better and you can learn more and you can get more experience for.
Ricardo,
one quick last question on the subject of tracks. Obviously, you've traveled a fair bit around the world.
Yes.
Which is the best track you've been to so far?
I think every year I go to Baguiland, Madrid, Spain.
Yes.
I think that probably like 2 years, they always do an amazing track, but that's probably like 2 years ago. That was definitely one of the best tracks I've ever been so far.
So that's it. So that's the first weekend we can book, Joey, me and you, on an easy jet flight to Madrid.
To Madrid.
To Boogieland. Yeah. Ricardo can turn up and do some practice. And you can do some interviewing for the pit job.
Yep.
That's perfect. Ricardo, honestly.
No problem.
Thanks very much for your time. It's been brilliant. It's been great to speak to you. We're all massive fans. You know, it really was great to. Once people have listened to this, they should go and dig out the RC Racing TV sort of hour-long Euros video. It's just a great race. You've been brilliant. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much, Joey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dear mate, bye now. Well, that was great speaking to... Did I call him Ricardo and Ricky all the way through?
Yeah, you chopped and changed.
Yeah, sorry. I've got to get that sorted out. That's bad prep, that. We need to get that. But thanks very much for Mr. Berton, the 2019 Euro champion, I think he was, rather than 2018. Mm-hmm. These are the things what happens when we miss Martin.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, we just fall apart, mate. You know, I was going to ask Martin about high-frequency rear springs, but he's not here. Do you know what the difference is between why we should be using high-frequency rear springs?
I thought a rear spring was just generically a rear spring made of the same material. I didn't know there was any special...
obviously, I'm sure you're aware of the new release of the Schumacher Core RC high frequency rear springs.
I tell you what, this I had an update on my phone, I think yesterday, and for some reason it doesn't normally on Android you get like a little bubble at the side with like the person's face of who you're talking to at that moment in time, but they've decided to get rid of that, so I don't really see much of my messages anymore. Until I like scroll down on like the news feed section, so I did see something related in the Schumacher chat. I just didn't open it.
No, I of course am not an Android person. I'm a good person, on the right side of this conversation with an Apple. But I do like the fact that with Android, when they have conversations, you see the little picture of somebody, because every so often someone will send me a screenshot of something. And I'll be able to, and they're like, I bet you don't know who this is. And I'll go, yeah, dude, it's him. It says there at the top. I know who that person is. And of course, one of our American friends knows exactly what I'm talking about there.
Yep.
So high frequency springs,
I've not got a sausage. I ain't got absolute sausage.
We'll wait for next week, mate. We'll wait for next week. Maybe there's someone out there who knows something about high frequency springs who's not an on-road person, and we can chat to them. You know, literally, I've already ordered them. I'm just waiting for Andy Woods to tell me whether I should run them or not. Once Andy Woods tells me, job done.
I mean, the fact that you're actually ordering anything to do with RC is a bit beyond me at the minute anyway.
I've got nothing else to do. I've got nothing else in my life, Joe.
I know. Why don't you start a different hobby for a while? I don't know, like cross-stitch or painting or, I don't know. I've decided to start an old hobby before RC, so everyone else should do the same.
Okay, all right, fine. I will have a think.
Just pick up something else.
Okay, if anyone else would like to suggest a hobby that I could do for the next 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks before we can go racing on the RC, please let me know.
Months, not weeks, months.
I'm quite happy with RC. You know, it takes me a lot of time to do stuff anyway, Joe, so by the time I glued some tires up on me during like a storm truck, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be July by then. One of the things we did miss the other week was it was great we spoke to, well, yeah, of course, Joe, miss you so much. Not that I'm trying to send you to Italy just to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Is we had Dave Burton on, and Dave Burton was very kind and, you know, of course, sent me my special one-of-a-kind Elliot Boots RC MIP T-handle. And he said he was very happy to send another one out for somebody who got involved, liked and shared the podcast and did all those things. So, Joey, because we're dead flash, the first thing I need you to do is pick a number between 1 and 3.
2.
2. Okay. So, I then need you to pick a number between 1 and 12.
7.
7. And so what we're doing is there, we've got people who liked, shared and commented. And so you've picked comments. So I'm going to look for who's the 12th comment on the David Burton episode. And then they've won, unless it's you or me.
I didn't pick 12, but okay.
Well, what number did you pick?
7.
Oh, did you? Okay, 7. Sorry, I wasn't listening. 1, 2, 3. Do we count my comments, even though I can't win? I think we should, shouldn't we? No. But, I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, let's not count ours. Which
that's
means,
what I said, because we can't win anyway.
That's just good. Well, to be honest, if we did count ours, then Elliot Boots, Chris Boots would have won. I'm not being funny. I'm not giving it to him.
I don't think Chris needs to win the tools that Elliot produces. Just go and borrow one.
So if we discount my comments, then the winner is a Dylan Saunders. Dylan Saunders has won a Elliot Boots RC MIPT handle, and I will contact Dave Burton and contact Dylan Saunders, and they can sort each other out and they can get that done if Dylan hasn't already got that. So that's brilliant. That does also point out, you know, it is important that we thank Jessica Palson for coming on last week. Unfortunately, it was cut short. That was our fault. That was internet issues. And then the other thing, which you can tell by the second half, is we didn't know what had gone on. We didn't realise that not all of it had recorded. So that's why at the second half, we're carrying on as we spoke to Jessica for about an hour, but some of that just wasn't recorded, wasn't done. So we just put on the bits that we had. So me and Martin had a really good chat with Jessica, but we just had short. So apologies. It's actually Aiden's fault. But we'll get Jessica on again and she can retell us and tell you all the things that she's doing to work really hard in RC. I think that's it, Joey.
I think so.
I've just got to look quick through my list. I really loved a picture of Ross Nicholson in a BQ hat. Did you see that this week?
I did. It was his birthday this week.
Was his birthday, so happy birthday, Ross. I know he's heavily into his sim racing, and he's really good at it as well. So, but it's nice, you know, I do enjoy people sharing old pictures. It wasn't that old, but, you know, old pictures of people doing RC. We've done the competition. We've talked about Jessica. We've talked about High Frequency. Please go and subscribe to Keenan K. White's YouTube channel and No Name RC Podcast YouTube channel. They do their podcast on there. They also do some other, Keenan also does some other YouTube videos. So do that. That's really good. I'm sitting here drinking coffee out of an Extra Lap RC mug. That's nice. Thank you very much.
But you haven't sent one to me or Martin?
No, to be honest. I think only four have been done so far. One's going to America straight away.
Whoa. Hang on a minute. So you've had four created.
Yeah, that's a start. Right? Maybe we might do more. We never know. One for Aiden. Mm-hmm.
Then the second one should be for me, seeing as I have been here from day one and I am number two.
Yeah.
Then there should be one for Martin, because mm-hmm. Martin is Martin and is number three.
Yep.
And then the fourth one should be four.
Somebody else. Well, to be honest, the way it's gone, I just wanted to try them. To be honest, we needed mugs in the office. So I've got four. I've already given one, has gone to the States because that guy had already ordered a Grid Talk RC t-shirt. So Chris Bowden was sending him a t-shirt. So I got one of the mugs sent directly to Chris Bowden to send to America. So there's one in America. I'm going to give one to Tommy next week, and I've got a spare one, which I'll take to the office. As far as I'm aware, if you would like an Extra Lap RC mug, you can just speak to Paul Upton. He's the person who did these. He's got the drawings. He's got our vector. He can make you an Extra Lap RC mug if you wish to have one. If a lot of people are listening to this and they do want one, they could message the page, message me, and maybe we could sort out just ordering 20 or something. But if you just want one,
And whilst you're at it, sit there and tell Aiden how much of a ass he is for not supplying me and Martin with one.
Well, I'm not being funny, Joe. I was going to give you one, but then I thought it would be funny if I didn't.
Oh, okay.
That's the kind of, you know, as we say, Joey, you and Martin are the only people who know what a terrible person I am. Everyone else is fooled by this amazing act that I put on every
this week. Persona.
This persona of a mug stealing, you know, megalomaniac. But honestly, we've gone on too long. It was great speaking to Ricardo. It was great speaking to Ricky. It was great speaking to Jessica. Thanks, Dave Burton, for sorting out the prize. We've got some, I think we've got a gap. Well, we haven't got a gap next week, but I don't think we've got anyone sorted out for next week. The week after that, I think, is D&C. So we'll try and probably see if we get an American on who's been to the Dirt Nitro Challenge. If nothing else, just to give me the opportunity to say the line, it's, you know, it's not called the Dirt Nitro Easy, which is one of my favourite lines to say once a year. Joey, have we missed Martin a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't say that when you don't turn up, you know.
No, I know. He's an arsehole to me.
But to everyone else, were you here last week?
No.
No, you weren't. No, strange time. We recorded for Jessica. So would you like to thank your sponsors?
The guys at Schumacher, hashtag Schumacher family. The guys at Reds, Brian Predit, Screws for RC, Freddie Russell at Factory Fred Racing, and as always, the old man.
Mate, you're a superstar. Joey, you've been great. Please like
I'm always great.
You are always great. Well, you know, but you know, you're always adequate. How about that? Okay. Most of the time, you're adequate.
Okay.
Please like and share the podcast, people. Please like and share all the podcasts, and we will see you next week. Okay? Thanks, mate. Bye now.
Goodbye.